today on The Journey.
So just be honest. Do you simply love the Christian stuff? Or do you love Jesus? And are you willing to follow him wherever he asks you to go?
When the waters of the Christian life become rough, where do you sail your vessel? Do you harbor in a sheltered cove or strike out for the challenge of the open sea? Choose the cove, and you may miss seeing your Savior walking on the waves and calming the storm. In this broadcast, Ron Moore talks about giving up the easy voyage to find the best, and all it takes is keeping your eye on the compass. First, I want you to know about Ron's free audio resource, The Solid Foundation. In this challenging sermon, you'll discover how to build a life that stands the difficult tests of time. The Solid Foundation is available at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it later this half hour. Now, here's Ron with the message, Counting the Cost, on The Journey.
A couple Saturday mornings ago, I was reading the paper, and I ran across this article written by a pastor called I Believed in Lance. He has cancer. And he was talking about the inspiration that Lance Armstrong had been to him. Wore the yellow Livestrong bracelet. And as he was going through his bouts with cancer, he read a couple of the Armstrong books. And what an inspiration that had been. And then he finds out that a lot of Armstrong's life isn't true. And so he, in this article, deals with what do you do when you have believed in something and it even gave you energy, but then you find out it's not true. How do you handle that? Well, in the article, he took an unfortunate turn. And he said that actually this is common. That many times we believe in things that seem to help us only to find out later they're not true. They didn't happen the way we believe. Listen to what he has to say. Many of us used to believe the Bible, word for word. Then we dared dig more deeply. We learned the story of the flood was just that, a story, not real, factual, historical event. We learned that much of what is written in Genesis can be found in other ancient writings all over the world. The Creator makes a human out of clay. There's a garden, a special tree. It's not a revelation unique to the Bible. And of course, the findings of science over the past 200 years have shattered any kind of factuality in the two stories of creation and Genesis. Such discoveries can be unsettling. What we leaned our faith upon, we discover, isn't true. We learn to do something that one needs to do often in this journey of faith. We adjust. When we discover that the stories are not factual, we think about them more deeply. We find that they were never meant to be taken factually. Their purpose is not to be an historical record, rather they are unforgettable, creative ways of expressing the truth. So there you have it. This Bible that we stake our life and eternity on really isn't true. It's just a collection of stories, creative, unforgettable stories, just to express truth. By the way, that heresy actually has a name. It's called conceptual inspiration. The stories of the Bible aren't true, conceptual inspiration says, but God just uses them to teach us truth. We don't believe that. We believe that every word of Scripture is factual and historical. And it sickens me when it comes from a leader of a church, but he's not alone. Churches all over our country preach the same thing. So here's my question. How do you answer such error? How would you explain that the Bible is indeed historical and factual from Genesis to Revelation? How would you explain to that person you work with or go to school with or carpool with that the Bible is true, inspired by God, and profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for correction, and for training in righteousness? How are you going to teach your children that? Because I got to tell you, Some of you don't believe this, I know, but your children are going to grow up. They're going to get married. They're going to move away. And one day they're going to be looking for a church. And how do you know for certain that when they walk in, they have a theological grid built in so that when they hear such heresy, they'll walk right out of that church? We are on a quest to get grounded, to dig deep and lay a solid foundation on solid rock. You've got to know what you believe. And you got to know why you believe it. And parents, we have to teach our children that as well. So Tunch Yokin, the leader of our men's group, says this about NFL players. He says there are two types of players. Some guys love being football players. And some guys love playing football. Now think about that. There are those who love being football players. They like the perks. They like the money. They like the notoriety. They like the lifestyle. They like the big stage with the big games under the bright lights. They love being football players. But other guys love playing football. They love the workouts when no cameras are around. They love the weight room. They work hard during the off season. They come into camp in shape, ready to go. They appreciate the practices. They spend time in the video room. They study the playbook. They're the first there and the last to leave. Same way with many Christians, isn't it? Some people love being Christians, and they love the cool Christian stuff. They like feeding the poor. They love the homeless stuff. They'll go to the homeless shelter. They love serving on Christian ministry boards. They love taking mission trips. They've gone to church for so long, it's just a part of their life. And so going to church is that checkbox that you do during the week, because you know if you go to church, your week's always better, right? They love singing the songs. They love seeing their friends. They love how the youth group impacts their kids, and they love that their wife really enjoys singing in the choir. They love the fire insurance that comes with the end of the deal. As one Puritan said, a lot of Christians love God like the farmer loves his cow for the milk and the butter. Some people love being Christians, but some people love following Jesus. Away from the cool Christian ministries, they spend meaningful time in the Word when no one else is looking. Prayer is not some spiritual emergency 911 call. It is a conversation with the Heavenly Father. They participate in the spiritual disciplines, not because they have to. They know that doesn't work their way to God, but because they love God and they want to build their soul. They're willing to follow Jesus even when it's hard. They're willing to stand up for Him even if they have to stand alone. They desire to be grounded. They are determined to teach their kids what it means to follow Jesus. They're not going to leave it to the youth group or the Christian school. God gave those kids to them. And at the end of the day, they're responsible. There'll be some great things that reinforce the message, but it comes when they teach it and show it in their home. They love Jesus. And they want to follow close to Him and hard after Him. So just be honest. Just a time between you and God. Where are you? Do you simply love the Christian stuff? Or do you love Jesus? And are you willing to follow Him wherever He asks you to go? Two different things, aren't they? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 9. In verses 57 through 62 are three short stories of wannabe followers. They want to follow Jesus, kind of, if it works out for them. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, as they were walking along the road, they being Jesus and His disciples, a man said to Him, to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Well, that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? I'll follow you wherever you go. And you would expect Jesus to say, hey, that's cool. Come on, let's go. Join the disciples. Let me introduce you to them. Here's Peter, James, and John. Join in. But you see, Jesus not only hears our words, we're good at words, we can talk Christianese. He knows our hearts. And Jesus knew this guy didn't understand the cost of his statement. Look at verse 58. Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head." You know what Jesus is saying? You want to go with me wherever I go? We don't even know where we're going to sleep tonight. You want to go with me wherever I go? We've left everything. What do you think Jesus was saying to this guy? He was saying, you're acting on impulse. You just got enthused about something. You're like a flash in the pan. You have no idea what it costs to follow me. You're going to have to leave some things behind that other people deem as necessities. Here's what he's saying. You're not willing to leave your comfort zone. And you've got it really good. Now, Jesus is not walking on earth today, right? And so he's not going to come down the road and call us to follow him. We're not going to have that opportunity like this guy did. So here, 2,000 years later, what application can we draw from that? What could be some of the things that we've gotten a little too comfortable with? How about material things? We got it, don't we? There's nothing we want for. The best business deal ever put forth is from the Heavenly Father. He says, here's the deal. I'm going to give you everything you need. Everything is going to come from me. And here's the best deal. You get to keep 90% of it. You give 10 back to me so I can invest it in kingdom work. Good deal? A lot of Christians can't pull that 10% trigger, can they? In fact, nationally in the United States, this land of plenty, the evangelical, Bible-believing, I'm all in it for Christ, Christian gives about 3%. How do we think God's going to bless us? How do we think God's going to say, oh, you're really following hard after me, when here's a tangible way you can demonstrate you're all in and we can't seem to do it? Some Christians are sitting on wads of cash that could be invested around the world for kingdom impact. That's what Jesus is telling this guy. You're not willing to leave the comfort zone. Relationships. You guys know that teenager who goes from one relationship to the other relationship to the other, they break up with this person, they're already in a relationship in about 2 weeks. They break up with this person, they're in a relationship in 2 weeks. What are they looking for? Security. You can't be sexually involved, teenagers, and say, oh, I'm all in for Jesus. Singles. You can't say, well, you know, I know I'm dating someone. I don't know if she's a believer, but, you know, I'm talking to her about it. Show me about evangelistic dating in the Bible. I'd like to see it. What about this one? Our children. Let me ask you something, parents. Are you willing to let your children follow Christ? I know some parents who are too frightened to let their kids go on a mission trip. They're robbing their children of the opportunity of being stretched. We have parents letting their kids go to Mathari slums. I'm doing a reference right now for one college girl from our church going to the Congo this summer for 3 months. You think those parents love their kids less? No, they want them to experience what it means to be stretched for Christ. So what's your comfort zone? That's the thing that Jesus said to this guy, you know, you're not ready to follow me, really. You're not willing to leave all the comforts. First guy asked Jesus, hey, I'm going to follow you. Jesus asked the second guy to follow him. In verse 59, he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first, let me go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus is saying, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, when Jesus said this, people's jaws dropped. This was a shocking statement because one thing that was a sacred duty in that day was to take care of your parents, and it still is. It's a commandment, right? We're going to honor our father and mother. By the way, this guy's dad wasn't dead. If his dad had been dead, he would have been in the mourning process with him. Could have been that his dad was about to die, and in that case, he wouldn't have been able to follow Jesus for about a year. That's the mourning process of burial, and there's even some new research that says during this time, after a year, they'd dig up the grave and rebury the bones. So a year. And it could have been that this guy's dad was just along in years and playing rounds of golf down in the villages, and he didn't want to miss the inheritance. What do you think Jesus is saying to this guy? Jesus calls for a radical commitment that supersedes all relationships. As important as this relationship with our parents is, we have to set that aside in order to follow Jesus, if that's what he calls us to do. And I know of guys in their 30s and 40s and 50s, and they're still trying to please their parents. And they're still trying to please everyone else. And you cannot please God and other people. And parents, for goodness sakes, let your kids breathe. Let them go. When they get married, let them live their lives. Don't be in every detail of their life. You're killing their relationship when you do that. You cannot follow Jesus if other relationships are more important than he is. There's a third guy. Verse 61. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first, I got some things I got to get done. Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Now, this guy just wasn't saying, I'm going to go get my backpack and say goodbye. He said, I got some things I got to take care of. I'm going to follow you, but first, I got some things I got to do. I'm going to follow you, Lord, but I got to get through high school. And you know, I can't be really serious about following you in high school. I'm going to follow you, but I got to go to college. Then I'll follow you. I got to work and make some money. I'm going to retire early and then halftime. That's when I'll do it. I'll follow you then. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. What's Jesus saying there? You can't just follow me on your own terms. When a person plowed in that day, they didn't sit in an air-conditioned cab in their tractor listening to their favorite song. They walked behind two oxen. They had a sharp stick, a goad, and they would goad the oxen along. And when they did a furrow, they would find a point at the end of the field, and they wouldn't take their eyes off of that point because they were guiding the oxen. So they had to make sure the furrow was straight. If the furrow was crooked, they couldn't plant as many crops. So it's critical that they had a straight furrow. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You can't follow me and always be looking back. You can't follow me and always be going back to the sins of the past. You can't follow me and have one foot in the world. You can't follow me and try to please other people. You got to keep your eye on me. You can't follow me on your own terms. No divided allegiances. So I don't know if you're really following Christ or not. Maybe you like the Christian stuff. You like those cool hymns like How Great Thou Art. It just warms you when you sing them, right? That's cool, as long as you're obedient to that great God when you leave. William Borden was from a wealthy family, the Borden Dairy Products, if you've heard of those. He had bukus of money. And he grew up a wealthy, privileged kid. For his graduation gift, when he graduated from high school, he got a trip around the world. How many of you got a trip around the world for your high school graduation gift? And a lot of kids his age, they would have been living it up. But God got a hold of Borden's heart, particularly as he was sailing through and docking in the Middle East and in Asia. He had a heart for Muslims. He saw these people without Christ going to hell apart from Jesus. And from his trip, he wrote back to his family. And he said, I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field. They didn't appreciate that letter. They went to Yale, but he wasn't going to waste his college time. It wasn't 4 years of partying. It wasn't just that cool time to prepare. His first year, he started a Bible study. When he was a freshman, 150 kids were in that Bible study. By the time he was a senior, 1,000 of the 1,300 Yale students attended the study. It is said that you could find William Borden often in downtown New Haven, finding a homeless man, taking him to eat, and sharing Christ with him. He used some of his resources, even while he was in college, to start a place for the down-and-outers, New Hope, I think it was called there in New Haven. He had a verse that he put on a banner above his door, kind of a motto. It was Psalm 119:9. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By living it according to your word. And then in another verse that was found in his New Testament, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. After Yale, he went to Princeton. And then right after seminary, he headed to China. He stopped in Egypt for some training, but he never left there. He contracted cerebral meningitis and he died at the age of 25. And after his death, Borden's Bible was found and it was given to his parents. And in the back of the flyleaf of the Bible were these words he had written: no reserves. And they looked at the date around that, and it was right around the time that he made the decision not to follow his family fortune, but to go into missions. And then later, they noted these words: no retreats. Imagine how his dad felt, because the date around this was a time that his dad told him that if he went on the mission field, don't ever come back, son, because you'll never work at this company again. Shortly before he died, he wrote these words in the back of his Bible: no regrets. No reserves. I'm giving it up. I'm going to follow Jesus. Whatever the cost, whatever he calls me to do, I'll leave a fortune behind. I don't care about that. I only care about following Jesus. No reserves. No retreats. I'm going to look straight ahead. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to follow Jesus on my terms. No regrets. Even when my life ends at 25 years old, no regrets following Christ. What about you? Can you write those words? Could you live a life like that? I got to tell you, studying this passage this week was convicting. What have I really given up to follow Christ? Has he just called us to a life of comfort? I don't know what that means for you. But what does it mean to live a life of no reserves, no retreat, no regrets in your business? What does it mean to live a life of no reserves, no retreat, no regret with your money? Can you imagine if we would unleash our money for kingdom work, the impact that we could make? I'm talking to myself. What have we really given up to follow Jesus?
Please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How sturdy are the underpinnings of your spiritual dwelling? When the winds of adversity blow and floods of disappointment rise, will your house stand? It will, if it's built upon the bedrock truths outlined in Ron Moore's audio resource, The Solid Foundation. In this challenging message, Ron shares the four reasons a firm footing is necessary for a strong spiritual residence. He also takes a look at the three biblical virtues that are required to meet the heavenly building codes. Learn and follow them so that you can withstand the inevitable storms of life. Your free copy of The Solid Foundation is available on CD or as an MP3 download with a visit to ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
This interaction with Jesus and Zacchaeus is no children's story. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, Cost for Discipleship, says this is one of the most dangerous passages in all of Scripture.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And remember that a free copy of Ron Moore's audio resource, The Solid Foundation, is waiting for you on CD or as an MP3 download at ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. And watch for the discipleship materials from this series coming this fall. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.